You're listening to BIPOC Arts, a special program for 3CR's Disability Day broadcast. I'm Pauline, the Disability Day worker. For the next half hour, we're going to be playing some music by disabled artists of colour, and we're also going to be hearing from two arts workers about an event that's happening tomorrow evening, December 4th at 6pm at Melbourne Arts Centre. It's an event that centres the well-being of disabled artists who are Indigenous, Black and people of colour. The arts workers we'll hear from are Pearl Black and Natasha Paris. They're members of the BIPOC Creative Access Collective, an arts collective comprised of artists who identify as Black, Indigenous or people of colour with disabilities. Now within this collective, Pearl Black uses a co-design approach to make restorative spaces for small groups of people whilst practicing inclusive and accessible processes in group art making. Natasha Paris brings a wealth of experience as an Ayurvedic practitioner to embed collective care into the spaces the BIPOC Creative Access Collective create. Pearl and Natasha spoke to me about their arts practice, cultural humility and wellness in the arts. I'll also tell you more about their event coming up tomorrow that you're invited to. Before I get to that though, I'm going to play a song by an artist who has collaborated with the BIPOC Creative Access Collective before. You may have heard of this diva, it's Navi Karan. Navi Karan is an electronic musician, emerging filmmaker, and transcendental DJ. Their debut EPs Chic Discotheque and Freak Discotheque showcase a raw combination of classical South Asian sounds, sturdy rap bars and contemporary club productions. And this track is called Zai Ki Naka, off the debut EP.
Zai Ki Naka, Zai Ki Naka, Zai Ki Naka, Mozo Mo Tuka Zai Ki Naka. Zai ki naka, zai ki naka, zai ki naka, mozo mok tuka zai ki naka. Sangre, sangre, sangre ata, mozo mok tuka zai ki naka. Sangre, sangre, sangre ata, mozo mok tuka zai ki naka. Zai ki naka, zai ki naka, zai ki naka, mozo mo tuka zai ki naka. Zai ki naka, zai ki naka, zai ki naka, mozo mo tuka zai ki naka. Sangre, sangre, sangre ata, mozo mo tuka zai ki naka. Sangre, sangre, sangre ata, mozo mo tuka zai ki naka. Zayata sangre maka tuka zitlomok zaya uyondita tuka kitlomok zayata sangre maka tuka zitlomok zaya uyondita sangre 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 ata muzomo tuka zai ki naka sangre sangre. Sangre ata mozo mo tuka zai ki naka. Muzomok, muzomok, muzomok,
You're listening to BIPOC Arts, a special program for 3CR's Disability Day broadcast. I'm Pauline Vatuna. Next up, you're going to hear a part of my chat with two members of the BIPOC Creative Access Collective, Pearl Black and Natasha Perez. We had a good conversation about their disability arts practice, and they began by explaining what they do and sense of purpose that drives them. Here's Pearl.
I'd like to first start off by saying a big thank you to the lands and the peoples of the Wurundjeri people, of which I'm calling in from today. And I'd also like to extend a big thanks to Auntie Di Kerr, who's given permission for this event to happen on the 4th of December, and has just been really lovely in guiding in her words and her sentiments. The reason why I work in this sphere is because I believe in making for connections, especially for people who are Indigenous, Black and or people of colour with disability, who also dabble in the arts or creative, or, you know, would like to get into the arts and create, you know, well-considered, you know, safer spaces and accessible spaces for those communities to feel less isolated, and also, you know, selfishly for myself to feel less isolated too at the same time. So, yeah, I just think it's really important to have spaces of inclusion, acceptance, with no time pressures or, you know, expectations.
Beautiful. And you, Natasha?
My name is Natasha Pieris. My pronouns are she and her. And I am an Ayurvedic practitioner, an Ayurvedic postpartum doula, and a decolonial alchemist. And what that all means is that I am reclaiming and practicing the ancient art and science of Ayurveda, and also translates to the science of life. It's a healing art for the mind, body, and spirit. And I share Ayurveda as a way of decolonizing. It is the sibling science to yoga, which not many people know about. And it is a whole system of healing through the senses. And I share this to uplift and to nourish my community, including the BIPOC Creative Access Collective. We create events to support and nourish our people who deeply need and deserve to be cared for with deep nourishment and warmth, to uplift the spirit and energize and support their artistic, creative endeavors and practices. So I'm really honored to be collaborating on this work, on this land, and sharing this holistic system that brings balance and harmony and well-being to all people for liberation, and to come back home to our bodies in these times of disconnection and, you know, hyper-individual separatedness. So it's a really big honor to be part of this event and be part of this collective and create this community of care and upliftment, so that we can all be connected to ourselves, each other, and this sacred divine land that we are so honored and privileged to be on.
Beautiful. And did you say that this is a lineage practice for you? Is this a lineage inheritance?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it is a lineage. My ancestry is Sri Lanka. I'm from Sri Lanka. I'm born in Australia. So it's been a big part of my practice of reclaiming this ancestral medicine that is just an absolute gift to the world, just like yoga is. But unfortunately, we don't see spaces for wellness because there's a lot of It's very ableist out there in the whitewashed wellness world, and very exclusive. And we are trying to make spaces that are more cultivating this indigeneity and the connection to the earth and the connection to the elements. Yeah, so it's a big honor to be able to share this in a world that is very much needing of this type of care and nurturance. And I see that as the way forward for us, for humanity, to come back to the earth, back to the mother nature. Yeah, this is what we do together, Pearl and I, and with the collective that we are working to cultivate.
When I found out about your collective, that's one of the things that really struck me to begin with, was that I hadn't seen before an arts collective really intentionally trying to bring in that grounding and that examine the ways that wellness practices could be incorporated into an arts practice. I really appreciate that. Pearl, you were talking about how in activating this space of the BIPOC Creative Access Collective and your arts practice, you said it was quite selfishly trying to move away from isolation. But I think that's the most generous thing that we can ever do for each other, is bring each other out of the isolation that the society we live in creates. So I wanted to talk to you again a little bit about, I think you called it, the key aspects of the BIPOC Creative Access Collective. And they include intersectionality, community and access, creative development, cultural humility and care, and activism and advocacy. I want to talk specifically about cultural humility and care. Could you talk a little bit more about what that means for you personally and in the context of this work?
Sure. So I guess in the context, or by my definition of cultural humility, it's about, you know, the lived experience stories of a community that isn't in the mainstream or privy to the mainstream dialogue or discussion or privileges, and their voices being heard or their expressions being acknowledged in a way that's consistent to them and their authenticity. So the way that they communicate, if they're nonverbal, is accepted as it is, and people try to understand them. Like, you know, they say it's sort of like the medical model, you know, society fitting to learn about disabled standards. Well, this is intersections that have all these wonderful stories around how they navigate and what they've experienced. And this is really a platform where people can come together in their own time, in their own stead, and it's valued very much so. And also that they're nurtured, like Natasha was saying, with things like cultural meals. Like, for example, like Tasha's made some cultural Ayurvedic foods, and we've made tea blends and things like that to support the well-being, because it's very rare that the impacts of stress and daily living get acknowledged in the production of artwork. I've kind of answered a few things there. I hope that that's sort of kind of given a little bit of a picture of the cultural humility.
And Natasha, could you speak to that as well, the cultural humility and care as a key aspect of the work you do in the BIPOC Creative Access Collective?
Yes, absolutely. It's really integral to my work, really bringing forward the accessible ways of caring for ourselves and caring for each other, and demonstrating from an embodied perspective and an embodied practice, you know, from the way that we prepare the food in a conscious way, not just to fill the bellies. You know, it's more to uplift and to energize, and it's part of my dharma and my spiritual practice. My calling is more than just work. It is a healing art. I love sharing it because it is a way of caring for ourselves with tenderness, more not so much self-care, but it's about self-preservation. We offer tools and resources, you know, demonstrating how we can move forward into this into this way of being that centers, yeah, ceremony, ritual, nourishment, and welcoming everyone as they are, to come as they are, and that they are loved and that they are deeply respected. And yeah, just making more space for what we need and what is needed in this time.
I love that. And what I'm hearing from both of you is how much it really begins with intention.
Yeah. It's very considered. Everything is very considered, and we're thinking about how we receive life through the senses and how we can create journeys and curate journeys that are generous and spirited and full of intentionality and love and service and devotion.
Yeah, what I'm hearing from both of you is that it's a good starting point for good relations and relationships in a space is really just making sure that everyone knows that their presence there is valued by making sure that their access needs are met. And also, whatever they're coming in with, their stories, their cultures, their different life experiences, all of it is welcome. And that's a good starting point for creating any kind of space.
Beautifully put. Thank you.
And that was Pearl Black and Natasha Paris, two members of the BIPOC Creative Access Collective. Tomorrow night on December 4th, you're invited to join them at 6 p.m. at Arts Centre Melbourne for their Disability Oration event, which is an extension of their interest in well-being and health. It's a panel with thoughtful speakers including Natasha Paris herself, Joshua Pether, an experimental performance artist, ritual practitioner, and choreographer of Kalkadoon heritage, Tharindu Jayadeva, who is a public health community engagement and health system co-designer, and Vivian Hansen, an Indigenous medicine practitioner and herbalist from the Bibbulmun Nation. These speakers will be discussing questions from disabled, Black, Indigenous, and people of colour about health and well-being and advocating for your needs in the health system. And you can find free community access tickets online by looking up Disability Oration on the Arts Centre Melbourne website. And you can attend in person or join the online live stream. I'm going to play some more music for you now. A few more tracks by artists who are Black, Indigenous, or people of colour. Make sure you stay tuned for more Disability Day broadcast and check out the rest of today's schedule at 3cr.org.au/Disability Day 2025.
This is real. It's called my true love. Now I've been waiting, ooh, for so long. I've been waiting for you to come. To come around. Now we've been waiting for so long. Now we've been waiting. Sun.
I remember in 2016, you said to me in the registry office, come, let me take all them horrible scars away from you, your physical, your mental. Let me try to fix you. When you're lying next to me at night, I don't answer you. You wake me, say, Lizzie, are you okay? I love you so much, Mr. Goodman, it hurts me so much inside. When you're lying next to me, you wanna smell my hair. If I move now, you at least wake up. You say that I would do anything for you. You know what? Let me do something for you.
Hello, you mob out there. Welcome to Mob Got Talent. I'd like to pay my respects and acknowledge the people of the Kulin Nations, of the Woiwurrung and the Wurundjeri peoples. And now, I know you're waiting for it, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mob Got Talent, Alice Guy, ladies and gentlemen, and her band.
Thank you.
The winner is... We have no winners in Aboriginal culture. That's something of the past, a colonial past. There are no winners with Mob Got Talent. Everybody, every individual is a winner in their own right. So good night, folks. And remember, each and every one of you have got the power within you. Use your indigeneity. Good night. Sweet dreams.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.